Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Good morning. Separating the science from the silly. Every time I hear that every Saturday morning, it rings a bell. That's exactly what we do here on Leading Edge Medicine. Now, we do not have Samara.
That's true. We do not.
But
next week,
she's back next week.
That's right.
And probably virtually every week thereafter, with rare exceptions.
Okay, good. So I may take off then for 6 months. We'll see.
Well, I understand that you're itching to take off.
I am.
And by the way, you're listening to Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinics. You're going to maybe go to Germany? Is that what you're thinking?
Maybe. August. It all depends.
Yeah.
On our concern is not Germany. I mean, Germany, basically, they've opened up already. Their kids are back in school
right.
for the summer.
Yeah.
Since they had to close for part of the winter term, they've just opened up summer to make up for the winter. And, you know, they have fewer deaths going on in Germany now than we have in Washington State. So, in the whole country, you know. So, yeah, it's terribly safe. The only problem with going to Germany is I don't know if we can ever fly home.
Oh.
You know.
That's still the question.
Yeah. Or if we fly back from Germany, would we go into 2 weeks of quarantine? So, yeah, I don't know what the situation is going to be in this country.
Yeah, you've had your fill of that.
That's right.
The quarantine. Okay.
Yeah. So that, you know, I'm perfectly confident in the ability to safely go to Germany and kick around Bavaria and tour some castles and, you know, eat in great restaurants. You know, cause we can't have restaurants here in America. So, you know, great restaurant food. But I would like to be able to come home without going into 2 weeks of quarantine.
You keep us posted.
So we'll see.
You keep us posted. I'm not traveling again until August. And not that far, just down to Oregon. I'm speaking down at a conference center down there. And then in September, though.
Now, is there going to be anyone in the room with you in the conference center?
Yes. Yes, as of right now, they will allow up to 100 people. Well, right now 50, but by the end of by mid-July, the theory is they can have up to 100 in a room. But the conference center, Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center, has three different rooms that they can connect via video, so that they actually can have, you know, several hundred people.
Okay,
it's won't be the same. It'll be different. They have three different dining rooms. Because, oh boy, you know, you can't have more than 50. Anyway, it's an interesting, actually, this last week, I hardly thought about the virus at all. I was so hacked off most of the week. I stopped being able to.
Was it the protests or the riots or the looting or the killings that?
Well, I suppose there's about 10% protesting, the 90% clearly rioting and looting, an excuse for all sorts of things. But I told you, Jerry, before we started,
You brought it up.
I'm not sure I can trust you.
Trust me. You're the one who brought it up. I
think you just did.
No. You did.
Okay. Bottom line, folks, let's just get the ball rolling here. I'm going to ask you, Jerry, in a minute about the latest news and your latest thoughts about the virus. But all of our lines are open. We've got one caller, and he's asking about COVID-19.
Okay.
But we've got three lines open, 800-465-8770. And it doesn't all have to be about the virus. It can be, doesn't, obviously, there are questions that you've got about the virus. That's good. But anything else about your health, like we've always done here for 21 years now on Leading Edge Medicine, you call in about any health issue that you want, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just need a second opinion.
Or a third opinion.
Or a third. Hey, yes, you're a big believer, Jerry, in second, third, and fourth opinions. It sometimes can save a life. Anyway, here's the number, 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. You just call in, and we will go from there. Now, give us a brief rundown. I said, is there any good news before we started the show? And I thought your answer was interesting.
Well, I mean, the good news is, as we get more and more real-world experience with this virus and less dependent on projections, theories, and fears, it's turning out that basically most of the lockdown was not necessary. Interestingly, we were afraid of the hospital system being overrun and needing, 40,000 ventilators just for New York and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah. Right.
They actually, they used fewer than 4,000 instead of the 40,000 they were demanding.
That's amazing.
Hospitals all over the country are actually going bankrupt because there's no patients.
Yeah.
They were told they could only treat coronavirus patients, and there just weren't very many coronavirus patients in most places. And then when they did say you can treat elective patients, people were afraid to go to the hospital. So, yeah, doctors are being laid off. Nursing staffs are being laid off. The reality is that, well, here's a scary statistic. Okay, Pete, how many people over 100 do you know?
I don't think I know any.
Yeah. Most of us don't know anyone over 100 because there's not very many of them, right?
Right.
Do you realize that more people over 100 have died from the virus than people under 50? Now, I know a lot of people under 50.
Yeah, that's true.
But more people over 100 have died from this virus than people under 50. That tells you something, okay? If you are 50 and under, your risk from this virus is minimal. About the only people that have died in their 40s and so on from this virus are medical care workers that have received overwhelming loads of the virus for taking care of someone that was sick with the virus. But in your day-to-day life, no. In fact, if you're under 65, your risk is extremely low. And even if you're in your 70s and 80s, if you're not diabetic, you're not immunocompromised, you're not fat, your risk of dying is extremely low. In fact, when they look at, in medicine, we've got a thing of a balance we do for every treatment, and it is looked at years of life saved, years of life spared from a therapy. So if somebody comes in and they've got, say, a particular type of tumor, we know that most of the chemotherapies and radiation therapies have adverse effects, and they are going to give rise to other tumors later. Mm-hmm. The question is, how many actual years of life are you adding to any given population?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a fascinating thing. The vast majority of the people who died from this virus were in their 80s to start with. Okay. A few in their 60s, a few more in their 70s, mostly 80s and up. But of those who died of the 80s, almost all had heart failure, kidney failure, uncontrolled diabetes, cancers of one sort or another, end-stage pulmonary disease. 50% of the people in their 80s who died of the virus statistically would have been dead in less than 2 months anyway.
Oh, cut it.
From their underlying disease.
2 months?
Yeah, within 2 months. So the virus cut short life on average about a month and a half.
Oh, my. I have no idea.
Because the virus tips people over the edge who are already teetering on the edge.
Yeah.
And it's relatively rare for healthy people to be laid low by the virus.
That's so fascinating reality. Wow.
Yeah. So,
Shutting down the economy, shutting down our schools.
Yeah, shutting down schools for kids, you know, where one child in 2 million might be injured by the virus, you know, about one-tenth as many kids as flu will kill in any given year. You know, schools shouldn't have been shut down. People under 50 are at virtually no risk unless they are a healthcare worker who is actively taking care of and intubating somebody with the virus. Yeah. Very low risk. Everybody under 60 should have simply kept going to work. And we should have said, if you are immunocompromised, diabetic, have an active cancer, you're on chemotherapy, you're in your 80s and have heart failure or kidney failure, you need to be sequestered. No one else needed to quit work. Shutting down the economy was totally unnecessary because, you know, even if everybody over 70 stopped going to work, the impact on the economy would be what? 0.1%?
Yeah, not much.
Most people are already retired by then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, and so as I look at us here in Washington State and the fact that we are still shut down here in this county, I am downright irritated.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. My wife, who normally is very calm and cool and collected, is actually getting really hacked off now. So, anyway, interesting. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick call here. Let's go to Lacey and talk with Arlene. Arlene, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Arlene.
Oh, hi. It's Eileen.
Hello, Eileen. Sorry.
No, that's no problem. I called in last week with a couple of questions about the Italians and bacteria versus virus and all. But on Monday, I had occasion to go up to the UW to see my ear, nose, and throat doctor because I've suffered from chronic sinusitis for years and years, and they really have the key to treating that. And I asked them for the antibody test. And because I tested negative in April, because I had a sinus infection go to my lungs, and I've been struggling with shortness of breath and tightness and all since then. But anyway, they gave me the antibody test, and I tested non-reactive for the antibody. So I was negative with the swab in April. But if, just hypothetically, I had tested positive for the antibody, would my name have gone into a database at the health department, and would they have started contact tracing backwards for me? I mean, how aggressive are they going to be with these antibody tests if you test positive?
That's a very good question, and nobody knows yet because we don't have enough contact tracers in Washington anyway. You see, that contact tracing is a very time-intensive process. They have to come and interview you basically hour by hour, day by day, everybody you've contacted, everybody you've been in contact with, every store you've been to, everything you have done. And then they have to have enough manpower to go out and contact all your contacts and then all of their contacts. And, you know, our health department has not got anywhere near enough contact tracers to chase down every antibody positive person. They are actually overwhelmed just trying to trace down the people that have active COVID. You know, if you went to the hospital coughing and hacking and running a high fever and they did your swab and you were positive, okay, now they know that you're currently positive. Everybody that you've been in contact with for the last 2 weeks, okay, they would try to track. But to find out who you may have given it to or where you got it. But so they just don't have the manpower to say, hey, if you're antibody positive and we don't know if you got positive somewhere in the last 6 months, no way on earth they have the power to trace that.
So we probably don't know either if hypothetically, which I'm not, I did get positive antibodies, would my case be entered into the database as a positive case here in Thurston County and counting, what is it, 25 or 27 per week, you know, to keep us into phase two and not moving down to phase one again?
Yeah, well, if you're in King County, you're still in phase one, you realize.
Yeah. No, we're in Thurston.
Oh, you're in Thurston. Okay.
Yeah.
I may come to your place for so I can go to a restaurant. I'm desperate to sit down in a restaurant.
We had a lovely Reuben at the Ram the other day.
I'm so jealous. It depends on how the state is currently doing it. What they did for a long time was they simply combined everybody that had antibody or a positive active infection.
Sure.
Now the argument is that's foolish. You know, we should be keeping two very separate databases. And actually, what I'm not seeing is actually kind of hard information to get, although you can get it if you search hard enough, is not people that are positive, but how many people are hospitalized. You know, the vast majority of people that catch this, if you were in your 30s and you caught this, the odds are you would have gotten something that you thought was a mild cold for a few days, and that would have been it. But you're positive. We shouldn't be worrying about those. Really, your worry is how many people got sick enough to be hospitalized. Not deaths, hospitalizations, because those are serious illnesses, period.
But you
can't find it. It's kind of hard. You don't find it in the big national databases. But if you go to the Washington Department of Health and the COVID testing, they have like a 6 different pages. And the very last one, you have to scroll through all 6 of their web pages. When you get to the last one, it talks about hospitalizations.
Very good.
And it shows the hospitalizations are absolutely on the floor.
And Eileen, with that and
thank
the music,
thanks,
we
got
to go to a break. Man. Appreciate the call. Okay, that opens up a line. If you've got a question for Dr. Mixon, call us at 800-465-8770. We will be back just in a couple of minutes. Don't go far. Minutes past the hour. Pete Talbot here. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine today with Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder, chief medical officer of Longevity. And let's just take another quick call here. Let's go to Lakewood and talk to Dennis. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys.
Hey. Good morning. How can we help?
Well, I've got a question about prostate. I've had a large enlarged prostate for years and have dealt with weak urine flow and getting up in the middle of the night a number of times. And I've just lived with it. And a few weeks ago, you talked about Rezūm, and that kind of piqued my interest. So I went to a urologist, and he wanted to look at my bladder. So he went in through the urethra. And looked at things, and he, we got out of that, and he prescribed 2 medications. And I'd like your observation on if they're any good or not. The one to reduce the size of, I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
The one to reduce the size of the prostate was Dutasteride. Is that right?
Duesteride?
D-U-T-A-S. Yeah.
Okay.
And he said some of the side effects might be reduced sexual stuff, all that kind of stuff. But in reading the literature, it said it may slightly increase the risk of developing a very serious form of prostate cancer.
Yep.
That
scared you.
A little scary.
Yeah. And what was the other drug?
The other one was for this antibiotic, ciprofloxacin.
Okay.
And one of the side effects of that was it could damage the tendons.
Yep.
And the way it's written, you could damage it pretty severely is what it sounded like.
Yes, you can. And of more concern with ciprofloxacin is neurologic injuries, too. Okay, let's go back to the first one, duesteride. This is a drug that blocks the conversion of testosterone to its more active forms, okay? So the problem with that is that your testosterone activity is important for brain function, for sexual function, for bone formation, for muscle formation. And so when you block all of your testosterone metabolism, you have a lot of things that are negative. The most worrisome, although pretty rare, is if you have a testosterone-sensitive prostate cancer that they don't know about. And you block testosterone formation, you can actually convert it to a non-testosterone sensitive prostate cancer. It turns out that the prostate cancers that are stimulated to grow by testosterone generally are relatively mild, indolent tumors that do not have a high risk of killing most men. Only about 6 or 7% of them actually are dangerous to our long-term health. But the non-testosterone sensitive ones, the ones that do not require testosterone to grow, tend to be far more aggressive. They grow much faster, they spread more widely, and the death rate from those non-testosterone sensitive tumors is much, much higher. And by blocking testosterone metabolism, you increase the risk that if you're going to get a tumor or if you have a testosterone-sensitive tumor, you will cause it to mutate to a non-testosterone-sensitive tumor. So that's the risk with the duesteride. I don't know what to tell you except the fact that it will shrink your prostate. It does not shrink it quickly. On average, you have to be on the drug at least a year before you really notice any decreased size in the prostate and any improvement in your urine flow. So really fast for that drug would be to see a result in 6 months, more likely a year. And many guys have to wait 15, 16 months to really see a difference in their urine flow. So it works, but it works slowly. And yes, there is a downside, but you know, that's Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Any decision we make in medicine, you know, there are downsides. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. And your doctor's job is not to give you things that have no risks. Those things don't exist. The question is, can we give you as many benefits as possible balanced against as few risks as practical? Now, in this case, although I'm sure I probably scared you a little bit, let me unscare you just a tad, okay? The conversion of a testosterone-sensitive tumor to a non-testosterone-sensitive tumor depends on the fact that you have a testosterone-sensitive tumor. If you've got benign prostatic hypertrophy, your prostate is just big, but it's not cancerous. If you don't have a testosterone-sensitive cancer hiding in there, then you can't convert it to a non-testosterone-sensitive, all right? So you've got to have a cancer in the first place in order to convert that cancer. So assuming you do not have a testosterone-sensitive tumor, then your risk from the duesteride is minimal, at least when it comes to prostate cancer. Now, your risk of, you know, damping down your libido and your sexual functioning, that's actually quite high. You know, your risk of developing osteoporosis goes up significantly. the fact that you will probably lose strength and energy and you may become fatigued is quite common. If you find that you are getting depressed, depression is a very common adverse effect of these drugs that interfere with testosterone metabolism. So,
it's interesting that you say you got to take it for a year, 6 months to a year, for it to show any difference. He said to take it for a month and then come back and see him in about 8 weeks.
Yeah, you're not going to see much difference in a month.
Okay.
Not unless your prostate is really not that big, but you're describing yourself as having a large prostate for a long time.
When we looked at it on the screen, the screen was where I could look at it as he was looking at it, and as he was looking through the bladder, and then he got to the prostate, because it's so enlarged, kind of looked like Mount St. Helens. I don't know how really large it was, but it looked big on the screen.
Yeah, well, you got to realize that is magnified, though. I mean, if you see the size of the scope, that scope is inside that little opening at the end of your penis, right? So it's going up through that inside channel, and, you know, things are greatly magnified on that screen. Nevertheless, you know, if you're having difficulty urinating, the prostate is large enough that it is compressing the urethra. It is compressing that channel from the bladder, and, you know, that's what you need to open up. So... nevertheless, he's giving you a drug to prevent the conversion of testosterone to dehydrotestosterone. And dihydrotestosterone, like I said, is kind of the most potent form of testosterone. So you're blocking that down.
Okay. I'm not crazy about doing that. So is there another alternative to shrinking the prostate that's a little more natural?
There are some other things, but they're also even slower. You can use the old second generation alpha blockers, things like, I'm blocking the names of them now. I haven't used them in so many years. But yeah, there are some old second generation alpha blockers that will shrink the prostate slowly. They actually make you pee faster because they relax smooth muscle quickly. Terazosin, doxazosin, and terazosin. Those are the two that I'm thinking about. Those are old second generation alpha blockers.
Less side effects?
Yes and no. They're not used very much anymore because they have side effects. The side effects, though, tend to be vascular. They were actually approved as blood pressure drugs. So they lower blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it by relaxing smooth muscle. Well, it turns out they also relax the smooth muscle in the urethra around the bladder and prostate. And so it lets you pee much better by relaxing those muscles and opening the channel a bit. They also have a pro-apoptotic effect on prostate tissue. Over the course of 18 months or so, they will cause prostate tissue to start dying, and they decrease prostate size. So it's actually a two benefit. One, it relaxes smooth muscle and lets you pee better fast. Two, it does over time shrink the prostate. And interestingly, those drugs actually cause prostate cancer cells to die faster. They increase apoptosis in the cancer cells.
Okay.
So you've got, I guess, three benefits: more rapid urination, shrinking of the prostate over an 18-month period, and increased death rates in prostate cancers. So they actually make the cancers grow more slowly, which is good news. Downside, they can drop your blood pressure significantly. And so back in the 80s and 90s, when I was using this for men's urination, I'd tell them, take your first dose of the drug at bedtime so you don't fall down. Because they give you postural hypertension. And the worry with them is some guys will get so lightheaded from low blood pressure that they may fall down the stairs and injure themselves.
Hey, Dennis, hopefully that has helped. I think it has, not only for you, but a bunch of other guys out there listening. So thanks for your call. That opens up a line. Get in line by calling 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. When we come back, I've got some good news. We found more health analysis appointments for that first 10 days in July. We just got them yesterday, and so that's good news. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Well, that half hour went by quickly. Welcome back. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine if you just tuned in. And I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon here with me. So he is the one taking the calls and giving you the answers you need. One line open at 800-465-8770. I was going to point out during the last break that Dr. Dan Nelson's office at Pro Ortho is wide open, and they're back in business, full bore, full steam. And that's really good news for all of you folks who are procrastinating. You got some kind of pain, a joint pain, knee pain, neck pain, those kinds of things. You may as well call Dr. Dan Nelson now, because they're up and running full bore. Very good news for a whole lot of people. If you have been meaning to make an appointment, this is a good time to do that. Give them a call at 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. Oh, yeah, and also the health analysis appointments. Jerry, you pointed out during the break, we actually have three.
Up in Linwood.
In Linwood.
In late June.
In late June.
Yeah.
So how those came about is a mystery to me, but I don't care. Yeah. That's good news. Right.
Bea just said she was going through the data, and she had missed those three, They never got filled.
That's right. So we haven't been able to make any appointments. This is a couple of weeks now. But I'm very happy to tell you that in each of our clinics now, the Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland, between July 1 and July 10, we opened up that 10-day period of time, because we're closed on Friday, July 3rd. That's the day we chose, not the following Monday, because July 4th is on Saturday, so blah, blah, blah. There you go. So between July 1 and 10, each of our clinics had about 15 or so of the free health analysis appointments. And if anything has been made clear over the last few months, is people are getting serious about their health. We can tell even with our existing patients at Longevity, they've never been this vociferous, this happy, this excited. They're telling friends and what have you. They're so glad they're patients. And so we're just real thrilled. And yes, we are still making available the two free tests, the mask, in case you need a mask. We've got plenty of those now. And also $100. Yes, we are continuing that into July. The $100 of longevity supplements, absolutely free. So there's a lot of really good reasons. I'm sorry you have to wait until July, with the exception of those three in Linwood. That's okay. So come and get your blood test and also the special in-body test. Those two tests are absolutely free. The mass, the $100 of longevity supplements. There has truly never been a better time to get serious about your health. You've been wanting to check out longevity. Wow, this is the way to do it. About 95% of our appointments are made online. You can call, but most people just simply go to our website. Very simple to do. Easy, easy, easy. Go to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. And right there on the homepage, you just click on the main button that says health analysis appointments, and you make your own appointment. Easy. Easy to do at lmclinic.com. And obviously, they are there on a first-come, first-served basis. So I suggest you go grab one now. Okay, let's go to Chehalis and talk with Rich. Good morning, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Pete, I saw you on television with an advertisement with your son and Larry Elder?
Yeah, no. Could be.
Anyway, I got to see you. So you are more substantial in life than your voice sounds. So anyway, that was my impression.
I'm more substantial in life than my voice sounds.
You're more strong looking.
Strong looking.
All right.
Okay. I'll take that as a compliment. I'm not quite sure.
Now, you know, you just spoiled it for me. I always accuse him of being a wuss.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah.
It was good to see you.
Thank you, Rich.
Anyway, I had a question for Dr. Mixon, a 66-year-old male. This is hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Not possible, but the use of nandrolone, also known as Decadorabin, 200 milligrams per week, as opposed to testosterone. The upside is that the reductase takes it down to 5-hydroxy to dihydronandrolone as opposed to dihydrotestosterone.
Right.
So less effect on the prostate, increases muscle mass. And then I think one of its metabolites, if you aromatase it, I'm not certain on this. I thought I read it previously, but instead of estrogen, it goes to progesterone, which is less of a problem with a person as far as of a man for a man.
Okay.
The only thing I'm not certain of, because I'm not certain of the about the physiological, how it happens in the body, the effect on the lipid profile and also on the blood pressure. I'm not certain how those, I know those increase, but I'm not certain how. They always say, well, these are the side effects, but I wasn't certain on how exactly the body, why the blood pressure increases and why the lipid profile changes. But anyway.
And with this said, let's pull back a little bit because our listeners have no clue what we're talking about here.
Well, there's one other major health benefit is that it is very good for the joints.
All right.
So I'll just leave it at that then.
Okay. Well, let's start with to let everybody know what nandrol is, which is
what's it for?
Well, it's a synthetic androgen.
Okay.
It's a testosterone analog, that is a testosterone-like drug. It's metabolized differently because it's a different molecule. My general philosophy is if I am trying to recreate the healthy physiology of a more youthful person, I prefer to rebuild exactly the same, endocrine support that healthy younger person had. So I'm not a big fan of using, testosterone analogs in humans. The problem you've got with testosterone in the bodybuilding community, and that's the people that are mostly using the nandrolones, is they're trying to build lots and lots and lots of muscle, and more muscle than human beings are supposed to carry. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a chemically enhanced creature. He is not the way human beings are supposed to look. So, you know, the folks that want to re-sculpt their body in some sort of artistic fashion, either use way, way, way too much testosterone and growth hormone, or they have said, well, gee whiz, we found that using these high doses of the real thing is causing problems. And it is, because you're not supposed to have levels that high. You know, a healthy 18-year-old athlete will run a total testosterone of about 1,200, and bodybuilders often run 12,000.
That much
more. Yes, 10 times. And when you load a human body with that much of a hormone, yeah, you're getting lots of bad stuff happening.
Yeah.
So the answer has been, well, let's use other analogs that might not have as many bad effects when we use massive overdoses. I'd rather just not use the massive overdose.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goal is to use the testosterone, progesterone, adjust the estradiols, the thyroid, the pregnenolone, the dehydroepiandrosterone, the IGF-1, all of these hormones to the center of a healthy 25 to 30-year-old man. Not the peak, not the bodybuilder ranges, where the human body functions at its best. And if you put them in balance the way that they were when this person was actually in 25 or 30, you get the benefits with very, very few downsides. So I prefer to use the actual hormones that human bodies were designed to function with. It's just that you have to be much more persnickety about the levels of them, and you have to put them in balance instead of simply loading on an androgen without being concerned about all of the other things that it's supposed to be in balance with.
Yeah.
So I prefer to measure them all and balance them all. I think it's much safer. You know, and you're right, by the way, progesterone is protective in older men. Young men have plenty of progesterone. Young men have almost as much progesterone as young women. By the time they're in their 60s, it's almost undetectable. But instead of using a drug that has altered metabolism towards progesterone, I would rather just give the guy the amount of progesterone he needs to protect his prostate. The fact is that in a young man, that relatively high progesterone level alters the estrogen alpha receptors in the prostate. When they inhibit the stimulatory, the mitosis effect of the estrogen receptors. And so when you lose your progesterone, you disinhibit those alpha receptors, and it now starts to stimulate the prostate to grow faster. So you start with testosterone, you convert the testosterone to estradiol. The estradiol stimulates the alpha estrogen receptor, and it triggers the prostate to grow. That's why old men get big prostates. If you start when they're younger and you don't let their progesterone drop way down, you don't get a big prostate. Then you don't have to worry about the previous caller. Too. You what?
That's why they get the gynecomastia too.
Yeah.
Well, what about the joint protective effects of the nandrolone as opposed to the testosterone?
I haven't seen a paper on it, so I can't comment on that part. I only like to comment on where I actually have the knowledge. So I hate commenting.
All right, well, thank
ignorance.
You.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. And again, that opens a line at 800-465-8770. You know, these are topics that you can only get this kind of information either here on the radio, but you can get it individualized as a patient at Longevity. You just can't get this from your typical general practitioner. That's why we do the free health analysis appointments. For goodness sakes, come and let us do at least two tests for you free. The blood test and also the special in-body. It's fascinating, and it'll help you understand what some of your basic health risks are. For goodness sakes, take advantage of it. And yes, you get the two free tests and you get $100 of longevity supplements. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we opened up the first 10 days of July and about 12 to 14 appointments in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. Grab one. And how do you grab one? You simply make your own appointment online by going to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Boy, I hope you'll do that. You have to wait till July, but hey, time goes by and you'll come on. You'll be so glad you did at lmclinic.com. See, I told you the break wouldn't be long. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, and this portion of the program is brought to you by my good friend Rajiv Nagayach at Aging Options. That's right, and don't forget, he's come up with something really sharp. It's the Emergency Legal Kit. Nobody wants to go to the doctor with, well, that's not true, Jerry, is it? We're jammed. Anyway, but a lot of people are still generally, if you can do things online over the phone, hey, that's great. Well, he's got the Emergency Legal Kit. that includes the financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living will, advanced directives, HIPAA authorizations, you know, a will or a trust, all the, whatever you need. And it's all done online or over the phone or in person. But you've got your options. It's the emergency legal kit, and it is only, quite literally, he created it, Rajiv. He created it at Aging Options. So if you want more information, and you just simply call their toll-free number, 877-ELDER-47, 877-ELDER-47, and you can also check it out at agingoptions.com, all right? You need to do that, especially if you've procrastinated and you haven't updated or revised your will in the last 4 or 5 years. Hey, folks, laws change. Things change. You need to revise those every 5 years at the most or the least. All right. Let us go to Federal Way and talk with Dorothy. Dorothy, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Thank you, and I appreciate your taking my call. This has to do with COVID-19 and being an asymptomatic been
hello?
Done. That hello.
Yeah, there we go.
We heard. Hello? We heard. And being an asymptomatic, and then there was a blank. An asymptomatic carrier, an asymptomatic victim, an asymptomatic what?
Asymptomatic carrier, and how long? You can transmit the virus in that asymptomatic state.
Okay. If you get infected, the latest number I have seen is 8 days. Okay.
Okay.
Now, you got to recognize that when they give us a firm number like that, it is true for the majority of people. There are always going to be people that clear the virus in 5 days, and there are going to be people that are still carrying the virus in 10 days or 12 days. So, but 8 is the official number now. So as long as you always take official numbers with a little grain of salt, recognizing that human beings always evidence wide variation in our response to everything. Okay. So for safety's sake, I'd say, figure on 2 weeks. You're not going to exceed that, except maybe 1 in 10,000. But 8 is official.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, man.
Betcha.
Bye-bye.
Hey, that opens up a line, and I should have said this a minute or two ago. We now have 3 lines open. So you call right now, 800-465-8770. Again, that's 800-465-8770. Let's go to Warren. Warren, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine.
Yeah, hi. Since Cialis is a smooth muscle relaxant, does it have any effect on signs and symptoms of benign prosthetic hypertrophy?
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't quite able to hear that.
Okay.
Explain that again.
He was asking, does Cialis, tadalafil,
yeah,
have a impact or an effect on benign prostatic hypertrophy?
Okay.
And it definitely does. And in fact, that is one of the primary reasons I use it in my older men. It is, in fact, approved by the FDA in a 5 milligram daily dose for BPH. And it works very nicely to increase urine flow. Other benefit, of course, is it is an erectile disorder drug. And so most of the men that are taking 5 milligrams a day have dramatically improved erectile function and more satisfying sex lives. That 5 milligrams is not quite enough for some men. Some men need a little more. Because the Cialis brand is so outrageously expensive, I normally write or have my doctors write for the 20 milligram tadalafil prescription. The 20 milligram pill, it's soft. It actually tastes slightly sweet. They can bite off a third to a fourth of the pill on a daily basis. You'll get a little variation. One day you may get 7 milligrams, the next day 4, who cares? It's got a 36-hour effective lifespan, and if you're taking it every 24 hours, you will build up a level in your blood. And so any small day-to-day variation in dose is essentially unimportant. And it has a lot of beneficial effects. Let me give you an example. There was a study done looking at older men with heart disease, cardiovascular disease, and they followed them over several years. Men that were taking both testosterone and tadalafil in combination, and it reduced the incidence of fatal myocardial infarctions by 80%.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So an 80% reduction in fatal heart attacks in men that were taking both testosterone and tadalafil in combination.
So to be clear, this is good for a lot of guys.
This is good for a lot of guys.
Whether they have ED issues or not.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Every guy who's even getting a slight slowing in his urine stream, I tend to recommend that the docs put him on the tadalafil. There's also some great studies showing that tadalafil has significant impact on cognition, on memory.
Interesting.
And short to long-term memory processing. There are some studies indicating that it makes many of the anti-cancer drugs far more effective at killing a wide variety of tumors. Mm.
Wow. So, and I think we had a caller last week call in and say that the regular price for tadalafil was like $1,300 or $1,200 for a 90-day supply of 20 milligrams. But they sell them at Safeway. He said he went to Safeway.
Yeah.
For $70 or
$70. I paid $56 for my last prescription of 90 pills. And you got to remember, if you're taking a fourth of a pill a day,
that lasts a long time.
Lasts a year.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So if you're biting off one fourth of a pill, that $56 that I spent is a year supply.
Wow. Okay.
If it costs you $70, who cares?
Well, that's right.
Yeah, it's for 360 days.
Well, that's so funny. That's funny. Well, okay.
Okay. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, very informative. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Warren. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We are just now coming to the top of the hour. We got 1 minute, so I'm not going to take another call. But there's another reason I'm not going to take another call.
What is that?
We have all the lines are open. So this is a great time. We're going to take about a 20-second top of the hour break for station ID. It's a legal thing we have to do. No exception, hard break. But when we come back, why don't you, before we come back, call 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. You want to get your question asked and answered, do it right now, and boom, you'll be first, or maybe second, depending on how fast you can dial. 800-465-8770. Another little reminder, yes, you can make your own free health analysis appointment online. About 95% of our appointments are made online at lmclinic.com. But if you don't have a computer, you can also call Monday. Well, you can even call this weekend, leave a message at 866-86-YOUNG, 866-86-YOUNG. Definitely, though, take advantage of those. We've got about 12 to 15 of them in each of our three clinics between July 1 and July 10. Grab one. We'll be back in about 20 seconds.